Can you tell about what happened with John and Yoko in the Fillmore?
Yes, I can tell you very specifically what happened with John and Yoko at the Fillmore. I was scheduled to do an interview with Howard Smith from a radio station in New York. And at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was awakened out of bed in my hotel room, came stumbling to the door in my pants with my hair in my eyes and all kinds of little sleep dust. And I'm going, oh, God, another interview. And I open the door, and here's Howard standing at the door with a tape recorder already flailing away and stuffs a microphone in my face and says, hi, Frank, I brought along two friends of mine. This is John and Yoko. And I was supposed to go, eek, and stumble backwards in a blind stupor. Well, I said, okay, you guys, come on in. So they walked in and sat down and, you know, started doing this interview and blah and blah and interview and blah and blah and blah. And then finally when the interview was over, I said, would you guys like to jam with us tonight at the Fillmore? And John said, well, he didn't think that he would, but Yoko was positive that she would. And so I said, well, okay, Yoko, you know, come on down and come down a little early and, you know, come in the dressing room and we'll figure out something that we can do that will musically relate after the concert. So we sat around in this little room upstairs and played some old rhythm and blues stuff for a while, and then they went out and sat in the sound mixer's booth throughout the show, and I guess they liked it a lot, because when the thing was over, they both ran down and they were ready to go on as soon as we went off. So we played for about 40 minutes, I guess, and it just so happened that we had made arrangements to record that night. That's when the same night we did the Fillmore album. And the whole thing got laid down on tape. And John and I had an agreement that we were going to jointly mix the tape and decide how we were going to put it out, you know, because there are big contract difficulties involved in getting the thing out. So it sat around for a while, I guess about a year, and there was nothing done about releasing it. Finally, I got word that John was going to release it, and that some negotiation was going to be worked out. But that negotiation never occurred. As a matter of fact, he went in. I'd sent him a safety copy of the 16-track masters, and I guess he went in with Phil Spector and mixed the thing with this ridiculous tape delay echo on it. He turned off Mark and Howard's voices on the section called Scumbag, and they were the only ones who were really singing on it, and you can't even hear them on their version of the thing. I have a mix of the thing too. You wouldn't even recognize the two events. And, you know, they did weird things like put in certain applause where it didn't really occur, and, you know, they changed the thing around. And then the ultimate insult was to take the tune King Kong, which was obviously an ensemble performance, you know, where everybody and the mothers knew what they were playing. They were playing the melody. It was obviously a song. You know, if it had been a situation where I was mixing the thing, I would say, well, that's obviously a song. What is the name of that song, and who has the writing and publishing on that? Well, it didn't occur in their case. They retitled King Kong Jam Rag, took the publishing and writing credit, and put that on the album that way. You know, so consequently, there was a number of very irate phone calls between our office and Alan Klein, and, you know, a bunch of show business crap like that. Anyway, that's the story of the Fillmore album.
Frank Zappa on Electric Tongue on KMET in Los Angeles.